Chip and Charge,
der Tennis-Podcast mit Andreas Thies
und Philipp Joubert auf meinsportpodcast.de.
Der November ist da, die Saison neigt sich dem Ende zu, aber bei Challenger Corner und bei Chip in Charge hauen wir nochmal richtig was raus. Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe der Challenger Corner Powered by Chip in Charge. Mein Name ist Andreas Thies und dieses Mal in Tunis ist der Macher von TennisTourTalk.com, Florian, hier. Hallo Florian.
Salut Andreas.
Was machst du in Tunis?
Ich bin gar nicht mehr in Tunis.
Du bist gar nicht mehr in Tunis?
Ich bin eigentlich wieder daheim. Ich bin gerade gekommen. Ich war heute Morgen noch in Tunis tatsächlich, ja.
Ah, du warst in Tunis. Naja, gut. Wir möchten über ein Turnier sprechen, das an einem der mystischsten Orte des Tennis-Business stattgefunden hat. Wir haben letzte Woche schon in der Challenger Corner darüber gesprochen. Du warst in Monastir. Monastir ist dadurch bekannt geworden, dass es eigentlich das ganze Jahr über 15.000er ITF-Turniere beherbergt. Warst du an diesem Ort, an diesem mystischen Ort, wo die 15.000er Turniere immer stattfinden?
Genau, für viele Tennisfans mag ja Wimbledon und New York und Melbourne und Roland Garros natürlich die wichtigsten Orte sein. Aber für die guten Zuhörer der Challenger Corner ist natürlich eines der Mekka des Tennis ist Monastir. Und ja, ich war zum ersten Mal dort. Es finden, du hast es schon gesagt, ja eigentlich fast wöchentlich ITF-Turniere dort statt. Und die Besonderheit, jetzt hat in der vergangenen Woche zum ersten Mal dort ein Challenger-Event stattgefunden. Und das findet dann auch in diesem Magic Tours Skanes Family Resort, das hat so mehrere Namen, statt, was eigentlich tatsächlich zwischen Monastir und Zeus liegt. Und dementsprechend so, ja, mehr oder weniger eigentlich in the middle of nowhere gegenüber ist tatsächlich dann auch der Flughafen von Monastir, während Monastir selber aber ungefähr 10 Kilometer entfernt ist. Und ja, dann sind dann dort die Spieler in diesem Komplex untergebracht und können quasi also von dort aus dann direkt auch auf die Anlage, die Tennisanlage gehen, wo dann eben auch mehrere Hartplätze dort auf dem Gelände sich befinden. Dazu gibt es noch einen weiteren Austragungsort, wie ich die Woche feststellen durfte, denn es fand auch wiederum parallel neben dem Challenger auch noch 2 ITF-Turniere statt und die finden dann tatsächlich beim Tennisclub Monastir statt. Und der ist dann aber auch wirklich in Monastir selber. Und wird dann immer nur im Endeffekt genommen, wenn ja so viele Turniere anscheinend stattfinden, so wie in dem Fall jetzt 3 auf einmal, dass man also dann auch noch ausweichen muss. Aber normalerweise finden alle diese Turniere eben in diesem Skanes Family Resort statt. Und ja, war sehr interessant, das mal zu sehen, wie das tatsächlich aussieht, wie die Spieler da unterwegs sind und wo das Ganze auch stattfindet. Und ja, war sehr nett, dort mal einen Eindruck darüber zu bekommen.
Aber Sie können ressourcentechnisch das alles abbilden, auch 2 ITF-Turniere nebenher noch.
Ja, anscheinend. Also es hat funktioniert. Wie gesagt, Sie haben in diesem Monastir Tennis Club dann gespielt. Also es waren, ich hatte es mir notiert, ich glaube, es waren über 140 Spieler, die in diesem Hotel dann zu diesem Zeitpunkt waren. Das Hotel, glaube ich, hat 360 Zimmer. Das wird jetzt dann auch jetzt nach dieser Woche tatsächlich renoviert oder ist jetzt, glaube ich, dann geschlossen und wird renoviert, eröffnet dann, glaube ich, tatsächlich erst wieder im März. Es findet ja jetzt schon wieder ein ITF-Turnier dort statt und da ist ja wirklich pausenlos dort irgendwas los und da müssen die Spieler jetzt also dementsprechend ausweichen, wo es weiß gar nicht, wo sie diese Woche untergebracht sind. Also da gibt es natürlich mehrere Anlagen, wo das möglich ist, aber dieses Hotel, das wird natürlich wieder aufgemacht, hat geheißen, so Mitte März sollte das wieder aufgemacht werden. Und ja, dann beginnt das Ganze wieder auch von neuem im nächsten Jahr.
Dann lass uns doch gleich mal den Turnierdirektor hören über das Turnier in Monastir, über das ATP Challenger. Florian Heer hatte ihn zu Gast und da hören wir jetzt mal rein.
So, first of all, thanks for your time. We are here at the final day of the Monastir Open. The tournament is organized by the ITC. Can you tell us a bit about your role involved in this tournament here?
Well, it's actually we are sharing this tournament, so we are the one who organized the tournament. So we are in charge of all what you have seen in this week regarding the ball kits, linesmen, tennis courts, and all this. Sponsors as well. It's the Tennis Club of Monastir. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are partner with the ITC, and we are looking forward to maybe next year organizing more events. Mm-hmm.
It's the tennis club, which is located in Monastir, which also hosts an ITF tournament this week, right?
Yes, that's the club. I'm the president of the tennis club of Monastir, and I'm the tournament director of MOSI of the tournaments that we're organizing in Monastir. In Monastir, we organize a weekly 15,000 boys and girls tournaments. And now this is the first time we organize a challenger. So we are happy that most of the players are very happy with the standard of the organization. And you have seen the facilities. It is nice to be in the same where the hotel. So the players, they don't need transport. So that's a very good thing for the players. And hopefully we will organize even maybe $75,000 or $100,000 tournament for the players.
You already mentioned it. Monastir is a famous stop on the international tennis circuit. What were the main challenges to organize a challenger event?
It's first to promote our town and then to give a chance to the Tunisian players to get better, more points. And you see, since we've been organizing this tournament in Monastir, now we have Shagri, he's a 120 ITP player. We have Aziz Dugaz. We have Luaka. So maybe now we will have more players to be in the top 100. We had only one player before, is Malik Jaziri, who was 14 in the world. So we are looking more to have more players in the top 100, girls and boys. And that's the role of the clubs, is to help players to get a higher level in tennis.
And maybe the main challenges to establish this tournament, what were maybe the most difficult part? Or would you say it was just as doing an ITF event?
You know, mostly the difficult points is to get more sponsors, because that's how we can organize tournaments, because without sponsors you cannot organize these events. And we are looking now maybe to promote more the tournaments to get more public watching the events. That's the only point that we're not happy with, is that we didn't have so many spectators. Hopefully today in the finals maybe we'll get more. Maybe the time is too early for them. Maybe next time we will think to make the matches late in the evening, so maybe the people there will be more able to come and watch them.
And it's maybe also a fact that there aren't too many tourists at the hotel right now, because I heard that it will shut down for renovation for a couple of weeks.
Yes, I think this is the last week that the hotel is open. After we finish the tournament, is going to close for renovation. So hopefully then next year we will have even much better hotel rooms and all and standard. So the players, they will be more happy to have a very new hotel.
You were talking about next year, so it's safe to say that the tournament will be back in 2026 as a challenger?
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, yes. We even more looking to do even more than 1 week, maybe 2-3 weeks. So we have to check with the ATP, with ITC.
Yes.
And if we get a very good response, so why not?
Are you also in touch, because there are some other tournaments coming up in Africa? There were tournaments in Rwanda, for example, Cote d'Ivoire. Are you in touch with other organizers from the continent to maybe include it in terms of kind of an African swing?
Maybe it's a very good idea, but we especially like the African director of tennis is in Tunisia, so maybe we will get a good relation with other countries in Africa. The ITF is helping, the WTA, ATP, they are trying to promote more the small tournaments, 50,000, 75. That's how the players, they can stay on competition. Because if you put only the high-level tournaments of 250, 500, so the players, they get difficulty to play matches. So that's the best thing of the ATP and WTA doing. They're promoting much more tournaments than $50,000.
Perfect. Finally, what is your tip for the final? Who will win the tournament?
Well, what is nice is Peter, who is called the next generation, and he's at the final. That means he's a real next generation. So we wish good luck for both of them.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Ja, der Turnierdirektor, positiv wie immer, und vor allen Dingen guter Verkäufer, glaube ich auch, ne?
Findest du?
Ja, fand ich schon.
Er gehört in Tunesien ja, glaube ich, auch ein bisschen mit dazu, oder? Das Verkaufen liegt dir dann ein bisschen im Blut, oder?
Ja, das war wahrscheinlich. Auf jeden Fall, das Turnier in Monastir war eigentlich sogar ganz ordentlich besetzt. Luka Mikrut an 161 in der Weltrangliste war hier an 1 gesetzt, hat am Ende das Viertelfinale erreicht. Und den können wir gleich mal als ersten hören, weil ihr hört heute wieder zwei Spieler, heute haben wir keine deutschen Spieler dabei, aber ihr hört heute zwei Spieler, wo man sagen kann, you heard them here first, weil Luka Mikrot und auch Peter Brunschlick, den wir gleich noch hören, die haben, glaube ich, schon eine größere Karriere vor sich, vielleicht sogar eine Top-100-Karriere. Und bei Luka Mikrot, der hier in 1 gesetzt war, da hören wir jetzt mal rein, weil der hatte hier im Doppel das Finale erreicht und im Einzel das Viertelfinale. Eigentlich insgesamt ein ganz okayes Turnier für ihn, auch wenn er in 1 gesetzt war und sicherlich sich mehr erwünscht hätte. Das hören wir hier.
Finishing runner-up here in the doubles. You are the top seed in singles at the Monastir Open. How would you rate the season or this week, I have to say, here in Tunisia?
Well, my whole season was pretty good, as probably most of people that follow me know. Considering this week, first hard court, after January and February that I play, it was a nice tournament. I've been here when the Futures was organized before. Now with the Challenger, as I said already a few times, the tournament got way better, in my opinion. I enjoyed it. I lost a tough match yesterday in singles. I played quarterfinals, but some matches, you know, go your way, some not. This year, a lot of them went my way. And, you know, sometimes, unfortunately for me, it has to balance a bit. So, yeah, but I'm happy with the final with my very good friend. And I hope we can do even better results later in our careers.
You already mentioned it on court. That you feel comfortable here. What makes this tournament so special?
Well, the thing is, I have experience of playing here many matches. I like the courts, and I like, you know, it's not too hot. The courts are not so fast. It's bouncy. You can play rallies. I like that. Only one problem is the wind. Sometimes it can be a bit too much, like yesterday when I played singles. But apart from that, you know, you have a hotel very close to the courts, everything there. You know, you're in one place. You don't have to travel much. You know, you can practice, be here 30 minutes before, you know, you don't have so long to travel to get to the courts and everything.
And you said that your season has been, well, obviously the best of your career so far, but it's a young career. What were the highlights in 2025 for you?
Well, for sure, my first Challenger title in Italy is definitely top one. After that, also winning my second one in pretty close time and playing first final on 125. I played also 2 doubles finals on Challenger. So I had a lot of finals this year. Most of them I won, which is actually very, very good thing. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of matches this year, a lot of them winning. And, you know, I feel confident, and especially now to end the year and then to do good preparation for the next one.
Can you tell us a bit about your practice situation? Where are you based?
I'm based in Zagreb mostly. I'm from Split, but I mostly practice in Zagreb. Also, some weeks in Split, there is my home. But yeah, depends. More time in Zagreb than Split. But, you know, Zagreb is better for travel, and more players are there. And my team of tennis and fitness coaches are there. So, I'm in Zagreb last 2-3 years.
So you have an own coach who travels with you?
Yeah, he's traveling with me whole year. 95% of the time. But yeah, I don't know how much he can handle anymore, but we're gonna see.
What's his name?
Alan.
Alan. And when you're off the court, what are your hobbies? What are your interests?
Interests are nothing that you never heard. It's basically just, you know, being home, watching some movies, you know, series. I like to read a lot. So I like to, read everything apart from motivational stuff. Because after whole day, I don't need extra. So yeah, but usually I hang out with my friends. You know, we go for a coffee, we talk, especially when I'm away so much. I miss something, you know, home. They don't see what's going on here. So, you know, we tell each other what's going on.
Are also interested in other sports?
Very. I'm interested in darts a lot. I follow darts last few years a lot. I'm even playing myself a lot.
Okay.
That's maybe interesting thing that not many people say. apart from that, I follow football a lot, especially my club Hajduk from Split, and basketball a little, also club from my city. I like sports, but you know, you don't have so much time to follow everything.
And who's your favorite darts player?
Darts player, I liked Rob Cross a lot. Now he's struggling a bit, but my first world championships that I watched, he won. And you know, he was an underdog at that time, and it was, you know, very special to watch. And he had a really good 2 years on you know, on the tour. So, but yeah, I like, you know, Michael Van Gerwen, of course, the legend, and Gerwen Price. I like to watch most all the big tournaments I watch with my friend.
And finally, how will the next couple of weeks look like, and what are the goals for 2026?
I'm going tomorrow to Helsinki on 125. Then I'm gonna have a week training and finish the season with Bergamo. And yeah, then I'm gonna do the preseason for the Australia. Well, next season is for sure gonna be an interesting one. First Grand Slam, you know, matches and appearances. So I'm definitely looking forward for that. I think if I'm gonna be a bit, let's say, ambitious, I'm gonna aim for the top 100 next year, which I believe I can do. But you know, it's a long way to go there. Although it looks like I'm very close, but it's a long way. But I believe I can do it, and that's maybe one of my 1-2 main goals for the next year.
Perfect. Thanks a lot and safe travels.
Thank you.
Mikrot hat das Viertelfinale gegen Alejandro Morocanias verloren mit 6-7, 7-6, 6-4-6. War eine ganz, ganz enge Geschichte. Aber die Kroaten suchen Spieler, die zum Beispiel auch Marin Cilic nachfolgen. Und Luka Mikrot könnte einer dieser Spieler werden. Er ist schon der viertbeste Kroate in der Weltrangliste.
Ja, du hast gesagt, potenzieller Top-100-Spieler. Er ist ja eigentlich schon sehr nah dran an den Top 100 und glaube ich, kann man schon davon ausgehen, dass er das dann auch knacken wird. Hat eine tolle Saison gespielt, 2 Challenger-Turniere gewinnen können dieses Jahr in Braga und in Como. Dazu auch noch erfolgreich auf der ITF World Tennis Tour gewesen, da auch nochmal 4 Titel geholt gehabt. War übrigens auch im Doppel sehr erfolgreich, ne? Also auch dort schon einige ITF-Turniere gewonnen, stand dort eben im Finale an der Seite von Stefan Latinovic, und auch dieses Interview habe ich dann nach dem Doppelfinale tatsächlich mit ihm noch geführt, also kurz bevor das Turnier dann für ihn ja auch zu Ende war. Und ja, bin sehr gespannt auf seine Entwicklung. Die Kroaten bringen ja immer wieder gute Spieler hervor. In Monastir der Belag insgesamt ein bisschen langsam gewesen, also man konnte da schon auch einen Eindruck gewinnen, wie shotsicher er da ist. Und ich habe ein paar Sandplatzturniere von ihm in der Saison gesehen, da war er doch wirklich sehr, sehr stabil, muss man ganz klar sagen, von der Grundlinie. Und ja, also ich sehe da eine gute Entwicklung, glaube ich, bei ihm, und gehe fest davon aus, dass er im nächsten Jahr dann auch unter den Top 100 stehen wird.
Marin Cilic ist im Moment immer noch der Topspieler in Kroatien. An 2 ist Borna Coric, der sehr, sehr häufig verletzt ist. An 3 Dino Prismic, der hatte vor, ich glaube, 2 Jahren war es, bei den Australian Open mal so ein Riesenmatch gegen Novak Djokovic. Die Entwicklung hat noch nicht ganz weiter dem stattgegeben, beziehungsweise hat nicht so stattgefunden, wie man sich's vielleicht erwartet hat von ihm. Prismic ist allerdings auch erst 20 Jahre und Mikrot ist 21 Jahre alt, und vielleicht hören wir von dem in Zukunft eine ganze Menge, weil bei den Australian Open wird er in der Quali dabei sein. Da haben wir dann schon mal einen kleinen Vorgeschmack auf Luka Mikrot. Und ein Spieler, den ich eben schon erwähnt habe, der ist hier noch ein bisschen weitergekommen. Das war nämlich Peter Brunschlick. Peter Brunschlick hat hier das Finale erreicht, hat dort gegen Lorenzo Giustino verloren. Und Peter Brunschlick ist einer der 9 jungen Tschechen. Und bei den Damen und bei den Frauen erleben wir ein unerschöpfliches Arsenal an tschechischen Spielerinnen. Bei den Männern ist es allerdings im Moment eine sehr, sehr gute Phase mit Menschik, mit Lehečka und Machac. Dahinter kommt jetzt jemand wie Peter Brunschlick. Der hatte hier eine Next Generation Wildcard bekommen. Und die hat er aber mal so richtig genutzt. Gegen Matteo Martino hat er gewonnen, dann gegen Ilya Simakin, gegen Mert Alkaya hat er gewonnen und dann gegen Arthur Gea und stand dann im Finale und hat dort gegen Giustino verloren. Aber Peter Brunschlick, den sollten wir euch einfach mal vorstellen, weil das ist einer, den ihr in Zukunft sicher nochmal wieder hören werdet. Peter Brunschlick im Interview mit Florian hier.
Okay, Peter, congratulations, big win today. What was the key to success in this match?
Well, it was a huge match, you know, we both fought it till the end, especially first set was almost 1.5 hours, so obviously it was physical, I was feeling it on the end, but yeah, I mean, there was so many close games, so many important points where it was going do one or other side, and then we go to tie break, and I started well. I had a good lead, and then I won the first set. Then I had one chance on the break in the second. I used it, and yeah, then I served it out.
And there was a big roar at the end. It's your first Challenger final. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, it's my first Challenger final, so obviously it's huge. You know, I didn't come here with any expectation. I just wanted to go match by match and see where I get. And to be in final, it's really, really special, especially being really, like, physically on the end, I think, really struggling a little bit. So I was happy to close it out. That's why I roar a lot.
You were a top 10 junior. What would you say were the main challenges for you to get established on the pro circuit?
Yeah, so I already started last year playing some futures and stuff. Didn't really get too far, but I mean, already playing both things to kind of start getting into the pro tour. And yeah, I mean, I had a good start of the year. I mean, I won my first 25K, and from then on, I also started to have some results on the challengers. And yeah, I mean, I was going up pretty much the home time, so that was really good. And let's see if I can keep it going.
But what are the main differences between juniors and seniors level?
Well, I honestly still think the juniors is very good level. Like, if it's different because you already play with the best guys at the same age or even younger, and then you come here and you know, there is obviously everyone wants to win. And yeah, I mean, the difference is, I guess, these guys are you know, older, so I mean, physically they are for sure better, and yeah, they have some experience also playing. So yeah, it's definitely a bit different.
How would you describe your own game style?
I would say I still have to be, like, you know, aggressive. When I get too passive, it usually doesn't get me far, especially on big chances. But I also know that I can, like, you know, run on these points and fight them out. So I think I kind of have to mix it, you know, use my serve well, and maybe sometimes go to the net or play drop shot to change the rhythm up. Yeah, so yeah, something like that.
And where do you practice? Where are you actually based?
So I'm based in Prague right now. That's my hometown. I was there since already 10 years. So yeah, I started basically there. I also started before in, like, a small club, but then I transferred to the big one, and then that's where I stayed. And also I used Piatti Tennis Center sometimes I did some preparation there. I think I was going there already 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very good also when I needed some physical preparation for a few weeks. I stayed there 3 weeks usually to prepare maybe for the next season or something. And yeah, I think it's really nice to also sometimes change the environment and have, you know, mm-hmm. different people around. And so, yeah.
There are a couple of clubs in Prague. Which one is yours?
Sparta.
Sparta, okay.
I didn't mention.
No.
Yeah, it's Sparta Praha, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you have a coach, or how does it work when you're on tour?
Yeah. So now this year I started with a new coach from January, basically. And yeah, he travels with me like 14, 15 weeks. And then the rest I go with my mom or something. Mm-hmm. My mom was traveling with me before. Before, I never really traveled with a coach, so this is the first year that I started to, you know, travel more with a coach, and then sometimes to also change it up, I go with my mom.
What's his name?
Jan Masik.
And how did you get into tennis? Is it a family-related thing?
Yeah, my mom played, mm-hmm. played tennis. She was like 500, mm-hmm. and yeah, she also played club matches in Germany to, you know, get some mm-hmm. money, and she basically also lived from tennis at the start. And then, yeah, she started to, you know, she was doing also school and stuff. So yeah, and basically my sister played already before me. So, I mean, it was kind of a family thing, and I tried it. And from then on, I started playing.
Do you have a favorite surface?
I guess now probably hard court, I have to say. I played a lot on hard court, and yeah, I think I made quite good results. But I can't say that I don't like clay, or, you know, I also played on grass, and I think I liked it too, so I think I can kind of change up if I need to.
When you're off the court, what are your interests? What are your hobbies?
I'm gamer for sure. You know, okay. I love to game with my friends, and then now I actually started playing a lot of paddle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun thing, you know, when you come back and you know, you can do something else, it's for sure great.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a football fan or interested in other sports? No?
I actually don't watch any other sport, no. Okay. I watch some tennis for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I follow a lot of results on all tours. But yeah, I don't really follow any other sport. Uh-huh. Here we are playing a lot of chess.
Okay.
Yeah, we played almost every evening.
Uh-huh.
Also against coaches with other guys that are here. And yeah, it's very competitive. So yeah, it's also fun.
Who is the toughest opponent in chess?
For me?
Yeah.
Ooh, probably one guy that already left, but I don't want to mention.
Okay, fair enough. And paddle, is it pretty popular in Czechia as well?
It's getting for sure bigger. Mm. You know, in Sparta, we have two courts.
Mm-hmm.
It's even better for me, even in the evening, if I want to just switch and do something else. And yeah, I mean, basically the courts are full every day.
Mm.
So almost when I come back from tournament, I want to book something. It's like, I can't book, you know, because it's full, but yeah, it's getting big for sure.
Do you have a role model in tennis?
Not at the moment. I never really had like an idol that I would really like to, you know, I try to make my own way and my own tennis, you know, it's hard to like, but for sure, I mean, I you know, I follow a lot of guys and I really like, you know, watching the top players, you know, it's just incredible what they are doing. But, you know, obviously all the lefties like Draper or these guys, you know, you can definitely see something to take away from them. But as an idol, you know, I don't think that I don't know these guys enough to really know if they match, you know, the things I care about. So, yeah.
But I think you were part of the Czech Davis Cup team this year. How was the experience?
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, you know, I go very excited that they take me on and I try to take everything from it. From the start to the end, and yeah, it was really, really nice with the Berdych, you know, the captain, just seeing him on the court and everything, helping the guys out, helping me, you know, giving me some tips. So yeah, it was really incredible seeing also the other guys, how they, you know, prepare and then how they get on the matches. So I definitely try to use that as much as possible.
I think you played here in Monastir before. How would you rate the tournament? Is it a nice one? You have the hotel next to the site. Is it special?
Yeah, I always like to pick a hotel if it's on site. I like it because, you know, you finish a match, you can go to the room to shower and everything. You don't have to travel somewhere, or you don't have to stay like, you know, in the locker room or the whole day. So that's really, really great. And also in Vienna, few weeks ago, I also stayed in on site. So yeah, I think it's great if you also play longer, like later matches in the evening. You don't have to come, or you can come in for the warm-up and then just stay in the room. So that's definitely nice. And yeah, I was here a few times already in Monastir. Maybe also 3 years ago, I came for my first future. So yeah, look, it's a nice place for sure, with everything on site, and making a challenger here also helps a lot. And I'm happy to use this chance.
Is there a chance to go outside of it, or are you always on the end of it?
We are always here. Yeah. we are always on site. Yeah, basically, because you don't have too much time. You try to recover after matches, and I mean, it's okay. You have the lobby. You have some places that you can stay and some fun.
Finally, tomorrow, Justino, a veteran on the tour. What can we expect from this match?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for sure. I saw that they also had a quite tough match today in the morning, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it, to try my best to secure the title.
Perfect, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Ja, die Tschechen, die kriegen es immer wieder hin. Ne? Thomas Berdych war gerade abgetreten, da kamen dann Lehečka, Menšík und Machač. Die sind die nächsten 10-12 Jahre noch am Start. Die nächste Generation scheint dann auch schon wieder am Start zu sein, also auch wenn Machač und Menšík und Lehečka auch noch nicht alt sind. Das ist schon erstaunlich, was da in Tschechien immer geht.
Ja, das ist eine richtige Maschinerie, also ein Eindruck, aber vor allem bei den zwei Clubs da in Prag, die dort immer wieder Spieler produzieren können. Dazu haben sie natürlich noch dieses wunderbare nationale Trainingscenter in Prostějov, was ja noch auch mit dazu kommt, wo ja auch ein Challenger-Turnier stattfindet. Also Trainingsmöglichkeiten sind dort natürlich fantastisch und da kommt dann auch dementsprechend immer wieder nach. Bei Brunsli, glaube ich, ja, er ist im Moment, glaube ich, die 379 der Welt. Da ist noch ein bisschen Potenzial nach oben. Der ist mit kaum Erwartungen zu diesem Turnier da eigentlich nach Monastir gereist, war auch wirklich happy, dass er dort ins Finale gekommen ist. Sein erstes Challenger-Finale, was er eben dort auch spielen konnte. Er war Top 10 in den Junioren. Also, dass da Talent da ist, wusste man schon. Aber jetzt dort eben ohne Erwartungen nach Tunesien gereist. Eines auch der letzten Turniere für ihn in dieser Saison. Hat schon mal zwei Halbfinals gespielt in Vienna und in Kreta, dort auch schon im Semifinale gestanden, Davis Cup gespielt oder war zumindest Teil des Davis Cup Teams in diesem Jahr, was ein absolutes Highlight eben für ihn war. Und ja, also auch dort merkt man, glaube ich, er ist, geht dort auf jeden Fall seinen Weg, ist da auch sehr zielstrebig schon in seiner Vorangehensweise. Man merkt es bei den Challenger-Spielern schon, bei den Jungen, da wo wirklich viel Potenzial da ist, dann wenn die ihren Trainerstab mit dabei haben, schon mit Physios reisen und so, da weiß man natürlich schon, da ist mehr dahinter, als das natürlich irgendwie so ein alleiniger Jugendlicher ist, sag ich mal, hier auf der Tennistour unterwegs ist. Was noch interessant war, dass Lorenzo Giustino hat mir dann gesagt, im Halbfinale, wir werden ihn dann auch gleich nochmal hören, haben wir gesagt, naja, also er hat ja dann einen richtig harten Fight gehabt gegen Moro Kanyas im Halbfinale. Und da hat er gesagt, naja, also gegen den Moro Kanyas, das ist ein physisch so starker Spieler gewesen. Ne? Also das war eine richtig taffe Angelegenheit. Er hat gesagt, die anderen beiden Jungs, die da im Halbfinale gespielt haben, Gea und Brunsleger, hat er gesagt, keine Chance, hätte er gesagt. Die hätten keine Chance gehabt. Die wären sofort platt gewesen. Und das hat sich dann, glaube ich, auch wieder im Finale bewahrheitet. Da war Giustino doch, ja, als Routinier dann doch noch der Fuchs, der dann das am Ende auch eintüten konnte.
Brunschlig im Moment die Nummer 21 im Next-Gen-Race. Da geht es ja dann Mitte Dezember dann auch noch um die Next-Gen-Finals. Jemand wie Justin Engel kann sich dafür noch qualifizieren für diese Next-Gen-Finals und wird sich wohl auch qualifizieren, je nachdem, wer von den ersten drei da rauszieht. Jakob Menchik, João Fonseca und Leonard Tien sind qualifiziert und wahrscheinlich werden der ein oder andere wieder rausziehen. Jedenfalls im Race to Riyadh Next-Gen-Race ist Brunschlig auf Platz 21. Und jetzt kommen wir auf den großen Sieger zu sprechen. Das ist nämlich Lorenzo Giustino. Und der ist dann schon ein etwas erfahrenerer Spieler. Er hat dieses Turnier gewonnen und das mit einer wirklich sehr, sehr guten Leistung. 34 Jahre alt ist er insgesamt oder inzwischen. Wir hatten ihn schon mal in einem Podcast, oder?
Ja, ich habe ihn
vor. Und das ist noch gar nicht so lange her.
Ja, genau. Wir hatten ihn vor ein paar Wochen oder also im Sommer beim ITF-Turnier in Oviedo habe ich ihn getroffen.
Ja, genau.
Seit langem und haben ein bisschen über die Entwicklung der Challenger-Turniere, seitdem er auf der Tour ist, was ja auch schon sehr, sehr lange der Fall ist, dort ein bisschen drüber gesprochen gehabt. Genau, und das war, ich glaube, es war im August.
Ja. Ja, und der hatte unter anderem den an 4 gesetzten George Lofthagen in der ersten Runde besiegt. Den hatten wir ja auch hier im Interview letzte Woche. Dan Adet hatte er aus Frankreich besiegt im Viertelfinale und dann Alejandro Moro Kanyas 7-6, 7-6 niedergekämpft und im Finale dann gegen Peter Brunschlig gewonnen. Und ihr hört jetzt zwei Interviews. Das erste Interview ist das nach dem, ich glaube, Viertelfinale und das zweite Interview ist das Siegerinterview mit Lorenzo Giustino. Und beide Interviews schneide ich hier mal hintereinander und die hört ihr hier.
Okay, so Lorenzo, first of all, congratulations. Big fight here in Monastir. You already told me a bit about this match, but what would you say what made the difference in the end?
Different?
Yeah.
I think he played like really, I don't know how to say, like no mistakes in important points during world set, but in tiebreaks, like all mistakes. Like really, I serve good, of course, I hit good, but mostly in both tiebreaks, he made easy like 4 unforced error. Both tiebreak,
yeah,
each tiebreak. So yeah, I was expecting at least few errors during the set, but every time he had like very break points. Well, he played like crazy, full power on the lines, aces with second serves, but then in the tiebreak, he couldn't.
What can you tell us about the conditions here at this club at this, yeah, when you're here?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the center court is too slow. Mm-hmm. I mean, I prefer like court 1 and 2 was much faster, suits better with my game, that I play more aggressive. Here in center court, a lot of times I push, I go to the net, I get passed, so I cannot define with forehand, backhand. It's like too slow, the center court. The condition is are really crazy. I feel like even the balls, we play 6-ball, 7-9 like normal. The balls after, I don't know, 5 games, they were completely destroyed, like used like balls of the school, you know, that you make drills every day. It's crazy. I think I asked 3 times to the chair umpire when is ball change, because the balls are completely destroyed. Mm. You know, courses are really slow.
Okay. Monastir is a pretty famous place in terms of international tennis. Do you know how often you had played here before?
I just played once last year.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't come a lot. Actually, you know that only 2 years I'm playing future, but I mostly play in Spain. Mm. So like this, I can go with my wife and my kid.
Mm-hmm. So what are your impressions about the facilities, the hotels, all the organization, all about it?
Oh, I mean, it's perfect for tennis players. I mean, you sleep, you have the court, like, I don't know, 50 meters. Courts, I mean, they're slow, but they are really good, not bad bounces. You can play good tennis, you know, like good. Then they treat you very well. I mean, the food is okay. Everything is clean. I cannot complain. Maybe sometimes it's windy, but who cares? I mean, it's windy everywhere.
You already mentioned it has changed in your life. You have a baby daughter. And how is it now for you on the tour? Is it an extra motivation, or what has changed maybe?
No, it's tougher. I mean, it's very difficult for me now. It's just 1 week I'm out and I want to go home and play with her, you know, and stay with her, with my family, with my kid. I think my goal next year is to play mostly tour. Mm-hmm. And to be top 200 again, and I would like that they travel sometimes with me, you know, to don't travel alone again. Every week they give you, I mean, it's true that when they are with me, I feel like comfier, you know, mm-hmm. easier, and it's like better for me. Sometimes, you know, you get like a little bit depressed when you are out and you are without kid mm-hmm. and everything stuff.
And how would you rate your season overall? Because you said it, you're almost getting back into the top 200. Yep. I think you've won 3 titles this year. How would you rate the season?
I mean, I stopped a lot in the beginning of the year because, of course, I was with my kid and everything, and with my wife. I didn't want to travel too much. But then after the Bundesliga, you know, and I was like raising my level consistently, I feel like my body was better. I have no injuries this year, so actually pretty good, because I had a lot of injuries last year, like so many. And this year I didn't have even one, so actually it's pretty good. Good thing, and thank you to this, I practice a lot. I improve my game, improve my serve, improve my second serve, improve my backhand, my forehand again. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm competitive again in the tour, you know, because actually I had a lot of injuries, but then when I was going to play, my level is not enough. I cannot compete with these young guys. Mm-hmm. I cannot compete with this new tennis, because tennis changed completely, and my old school tennis was not enough to beat this new generation, because everything changed, the pace, like the speed, also everything changed completely. So I tried to improve, and I did, and in my moment I feel like, oh, my level is good now. Mm-hmm. So I will try this summer to go future full, because I was almost 400, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel then I won 3 and make 2 or 3 finals, I think. I made more than 150 points in nothing, 2 months. So then, maybe I'm close to Australian Open. Maybe we'll try. You know, then I feel in one moment I say, okay, now I think that my level is good for challenger, because I'm not stupid. I know that if I can compete with guys or not, you know. So now I feel like my level is good again.
Mm-hmm. The ATP announced a couple of weeks ago that the final 2 weeks of the Challenger tournaments and the points you earn there doesn't go into the ranking for this year, because ranking will close after the ATP finals. What do you think about this decision?
I think it's very good. I think actually that every tournament should stop after ATP final. Mm-hmm. And we have some couple of challengers, I think, after and futures. Mm. But I think we must stop completely tennis after ATP finals. What's the goal? I mean, you should actually play tennis every week to play the final tournament of ATP finals. For me, during the ATP finals, everybody has to stop. Mm. Just watch the finals. That's it. And go home and rest. Mm. You had big season, like a lot of tournaments. We travel a lot. We are tired and everything. And why you keep playing? I mean, make no sense.
Okay.
Because every sport is like, at least like football, like they stop 2 months and then we never stop. Mm. It's like play.
Yeah.
Play what? You know, you can, I mean, I think it's a very good decision.
Yeah. And it doesn't affect your plans, because maybe there are some players who were thinking that they could still earn some points for the Australian Open at these tournaments.
Like the guy I played today.
Maybe, that, yes.
That's why he was so motivated today. Yeah. He was super motivated, because I think it actually changed a lot for him to win this match, because he was completely 100% sure to get in Australia winning this match. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I don't care. I mean, it's like, okay, if I get to Australia, nice. If not, then I try to go Roland Garros. I don't have points to defend next week here, because I was with my kid, with newborn. So 3-4 months I was home. I had 0 points. I made all points now. So I don't really care. If I get to Australia, nice. If not, next time.
Yeah.
I play 8 times Australia. It's not my first time.
Okay. I checked on the ATP website that I think you're about to crack the 1 million prize money.
Okay.
Were you aware of this fact? Do you check something like this?
Yeah, I was aware. I saw it, that I was very close to 1 million event. Yeah, I know. I know this.
Anything special for you?
No, it's nice. I mean, I don't have 1 million in the bank, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. And finally, tomorrow you will have a match against a younger player. For sure, two youngsters are coming up here. Any expectations or any preferences also in terms of your opponent for tomorrow?
Just one thing. Every player is younger than me. Everyone. I'm the oldest one, for sure. Every time
one
I play. No. I'm the oldest one. Like 95% of the tournament I play, always.
But these two are very, very young. They're 19 or 20 years old.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody feel. Even this guy I played today was like, he's like maybe 10 years older, younger than me.
Yeah, 24. Yeah.
Yeah, 10. Yeah. Maybe if he's 14 years, doesn't matter. Yeah. It's the same.
Okay. So thanks a lot, and have a good rest day tomorrow.
Thank you. Cheers.
Spencer, congratulations. Champion here, Monastir Open. What can you tell us about this final today?
Man, I played terrible. First set, I was so nervous. I think. Because I was playing more than the champion, you know. I was playing for Australian Open ticket, so
yeah.
I started super nervous. I think also him. I think both we playing at the beginning very bad, and then we improved a lot the game, and I played very good in important points in the first set, winning the first set. Then in the second set, I just play better. I think he was very like nervous, because he couldn't make winners to me. I was very solid. I was hitting hard, returning every ball, not missing. So, okay, I improved a lot in second set, and I start to play better than first set. But nothing, I'm happy to win this week. More than that, like this, I can go to Australia as well.
And it's your first challenger title since 2019, and your first title as a dad. What does it mean to you?
Well, this year I play 8 finals already. Okay, they weren't challenger, it were 25Ks, but a lot of 25Ks I win was players like this one. I mean, I beat 200, top, I mean, not top 200 players. This week I like 2 or 3, but yeah, means a lot to me, because since 2019 I was almost top 100, and then I had this very bad injury in the elbow, and since then my level was not recovering. And I never stopped believing. I was like, okay, I have to do something. I have to do something. I tried 5 years, not feeling the serve, not feeling the forehand, always having pain in the elbow, and nothing. Seems that maybe I find the solution. Maybe I can do a couple of great years again and play again in top 200. This for me would be very nice, because, you know, after the very bad injury I had, I almost stopped playing, you know. It was tough for me.
And are you in a hurry now, or is there still a bit time for a celebration? How will the next couple of hours look like?
No. I have to go straight to Tunis airport, and I have a flight to Helsinki. I will arrive 1 in the morning tomorrow, so just I have to go.
Wish you all the best and safe travels.
Thank you very much.
Das war Lorenzo Giustino, der Sieger, den Monastir. Er ist auf Platz 222 der Weltrangliste, hat jetzt noch ein paar vielleicht ganz spannende Tage, ob er dann bei der Australian Open Quali mit dabei ist. Das werden wir dann verfolgen. In der nächsten Woche ist ja schon das Cut-Off-Date, also am 17.11. übernächste Woche. Und dann werden wir sehen, ob auch Lorenzo Giustino vielleicht dann bei den Australian Open dabei ist, ob er überhaupt dann hinfliegt. Aber ich gehe davon aus, inzwischen die meisten, die sich qualifizieren, werden auch hinfliegen, oder?
Ja, und wir hatten ja das Thema im Interview eben auch, wo es ja darum ging. Wir haben letzte Woche über den Challenger Corner darüber gesprochen, dass also dieses Date ja im Endeffekt oder die Weltrangliste nach den ATP Finals finalisiert wird und dadurch die letzten zwei Wochen der Challenger Tour damit für die ersten drei Wochen des neuen Jahres nicht mehr zählen. Und das hat man schon gespürt. Also gerade dieses Match Giustino gegen Mauro Kanyas, um darauf nochmal zurückzukommen, die sind beide in der Nähe dieses Cuts. Und Mauro Kanyas, der hat den ersten Satz verloren, der ist danach vom Platz gegangen, hat sich irgendwie eine Toilettenpause genehmigt, hat geflucht in dieser Umkleide wie ein Verrückter und hat dann ja im Tiebreak des dritten Satzes dieses Match verloren, wo er wirklich dann auch noch kurz davor war, nochmal zurückzukommen. Ich glaube, der hat vier Matchbälle abgewehrt und war kurz davor, dann wirklich auch nochmal zurückzukommen und hat nur geflucht und die ganze Zeit gesagt, ja, bloß nicht in diesem Match, bloß nicht in diesem Match. Also man hat gespürt, da war eine wirkliche Spannung drin, wo es nun wirklich nochmal darum ging, sich für diese Australian Open da einen Platz zu sichern. Und ja, Giustino ist im Moment drin, war dementsprechend auch entspannt am Ende, ist die Woche allerdings auch schon wieder in Helsinki unterwegs und Mauro Kanyas, dem eben jetzt anscheinend noch ein paar Punkte fehlen, der hat sich eine Wildcard geholt und zwar nämlich für das ITF M25er, was diese Woche im Monastir stattfindet. Der ist noch eine Woche in Tunesien geblieben und der kämpft jetzt noch um diese 25 Weltranglistenpunkte, die es dort zu ergattern gibt. Und ja, so viel zum Thema Tension und hier Australian Open Cut.
Aber Lorenzo Giustino hat auch schon das Achtelfinale in Helsinki diese Woche erreicht. Also er ist auch auf einem sehr guten Weg, hier vielleicht diese Quali dann zu erreichen. Wie gesagt, in 12 Tagen wissen wir, welche Spieler sich für die Quali qualifiziert haben und fürs Hauptfeld. Dann gibt es ja auch noch im Hauptfeld bei den Top 100 noch einiges an hin und her. Jemand wie Jannik Hanfmann, der zu diesem Zeitpunkt, wo wir gerade aufnehmen, das Viertelfinale erreicht hat in Athen, hat jetzt sogar noch eine Chance, vielleicht die Top 100 zu erreichen und direkt sich fürs Hauptfeld zu qualifizieren. Das werden noch spannende 10 Tage. Nächste Woche sind dann ja auch noch ein paar Challenger-Turniere während der ATP-Finals. Hast du noch einen Termin in diesem Jahr auf der Challenger- oder ITF-Tour?
Gerade nach Hause gekommen, morgen früh geht's nach Athen.
Sehr gut. Ja. Athen, ATP-Turnier. Da siehst du dann vielleicht Jannik Hanfmann noch. Und vielleicht kriegst du den ja auch noch ins Interview. Jedenfalls war es das heute mit der neuen Folge der Challenger Corner. Wir wissen noch nicht, ob es in diesem Jahr noch eine geben wird. Wir werden es dann allerdings ankündigen, beziehungsweise ihr seht es unter eurem Podcatcher. Wenn euch das gefällt, was wir machen, freuen wir uns über Bewertungen, Rezensionen auf iTunes und auf Spotify. Folgt auf jeden Fall Tennis Tour Talk bei Blue Sky, auch bei Twitter und bei Instagram. Und tennistourtalk.com sollte bei euch in den Bookmarks sein. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Auf Wiederhören.
Buenos Aires am 16. Oktober 2024. Liam Payne stürzt vom Balkon seines Hotelzimmers. Mit 31 Jahren, in seinem Blut Alkohol, Kokain, Antidepressiva. War es ein Unfall? Ein Suizid? Oder hätte dieser Tod verhindert werden können? Der Ex-One Direction Star wurde mit 16 berühmt, eilte danach von Recall zu Recall, von Bühne zu Bühne. Rückfälle, Therapieabbrüche, Neustarts inklusive, aber trotzdem, es ging immer weiter. In dieser Folge von Tatort Musik geht es nicht nur um seinen Sturz, sondern vor allem um die Frage, warum in diesem Geschäft kaum jemand mal rechtzeitig Stopp sagt. Liam Payne, Recall bis in den Tod. Jetzt überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.
Chip and Charge. Der Tennis-Podcast mit Andreas Thies
und Philipp Joubert. Auf meinsportpodcast.de.